Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors. From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, you know what day it is. We know what day it is. It's Saturday, and it's 6 o'clock in the a.m. Might be a little early for some people, but for you outdoors people, this ain't early. This is like the middle of the day. It doesn't matter. Anyway, if you want to get in touch with us here at the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors, all you got to do is call us at 414-799-1250, or you can reach us by email at the Smokies inbox at ceoguys@yahoo.com. And you're trying to fix that. You can hear it too, huh? Yeah. Anyway, he's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Sam Smith's on the board.
We're coming today to you today with some ocean waves in our background.
That's what it sounds like.
Broadcasting here on the lake. The wind is. There goes my hat.
I think
the wind
it might be
is blowing through my hair.
I think it might be one of our mics.
It might be one of our mics.
As soon as I turned it on, I could hear it.
But there is no mic here. Just the Dan, Tom, and Sam.
Yeah. Unless it's one of those other ones. I don't know. Who knows?
Okay.
Well, maybe, who knows? We'll figure it out.
Hold on. I'll turn mine off.
Okay. Oh, wrong one. There you go. Okay. Let me turn mine off. Nope. Not those.
That was known as process of elimination. This is the scientific method.
This is.
My
definitely.
Hypothesis is that perhaps, anyway.
I got an email here, Dan.
What do we got?
Now, this is something
first
interesting.
One in 3 months.
I didn't know.
About time we got an email.
Yeah, I didn't know if I should mention this or not.
If you don't know, then don't.
No, but
listen.
It's okay. This is like nostalgia. Okay. One of our regular listeners, Ralph, sends us an email real quickly. He says, before the cutting edge, I used to get my fishing reports from the fishing hole. You remember the fishing hole? It's that bait tackle shop down on the east side or south side.
On Layton,
yeah.
Layton. Yeah.
Yeah, the fishing hole.
Didn't the guy named Bob own that?
Yeah. And
you know, I signed his daughter up at the health club years ago. She was really cute.
Well, anyway, it says that's where he used to get his fishing reports before our show.
Right.
And he said, guess what? They still do it. They still do it.
Even though there's no bait shop?
Well, there is. There's still the fishing hole. The fishing hole, I guess, is still there. It's still there. But, and he left the phone number, 481-9090. You can get a fishing report.
Well, wait a second. Are we talking about the over on Layton over here?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking the wrong place. I'm thinking of the place on 20s. No, what street am I thinking about?
I don't know.
Highway 100. I'm thinking about Highway 100.
Oh,
there's
a
little
bait
shop there.
No, that was Bob's.
Well, that's why I said Bob.
Did you say Bob?
Yeah, Bob doesn't own the one out here.
No, what the heck was his? Well, Bob's has been close for
it. He's got all the Lake Michigan reports and
what's
stuff. I've gone out and seen him.
What was his name?
Well, come on, what was his name? What is his name? He's not dead.
What is his name?
Please, Tom.
What is his name? Maybe somebody will help us.
Come on.
I knew the guy from I knew him from years ago. Maybe somebody will call us at 799-1250.
Now you got a mental
Tell us the name
you
of
caused
the,
me to have a mental brain fart with all this confusion
what's
here,
a,
Tom.
What's the guy's name who owns the fishing hole down on East Layton? Oh geez.
I know. Well, besides, I didn't get a card from him, so I don't care. I've got a card here from the owner of Bell Ambulance, so thank you for a Christmas card. And in the past, I want to thank Bell Ambulance. Who's the owner of Bell Ambulance?
I don't know, but not
what
Jim.
What do you mean you don't know?
Jim isn't. Jim Lombardo isn't the owner. He's a high muckety muck.
Well, I didn't mention Jim Lombardo.
Well, that's who we got the card from.
Oh. Okay, so you're saying, well, thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
What do you mean? What's a muckety muck?
Yeah, well,
he's a high muckety muck.
Yeah, he's a person.
That's not a nice thing to say.
Yes, it is.
You call somebody a muckety muck?
Yeah, he's a high muckety
muck.
He's
punched.
He's one of the higher up people.
A muckety muck.
Yeah, whatever.
You know, I've been around forever, but.
You never heard that.
Is that another one of old geezers saying?
It must be.
I mean, old guys like you. Well,
it must
thanks
be.
To Jim Lombardo.
Yeah, thanks to Jim Lombardo.
For the and I still wear my red and black.
Yeah.
Bell Ambulance jacket.
Yeah. I know, that's very
all the
nice.
Chicks dig it.
Yeah.
It's great. I like it.
Yeah.
And thank you.
It is nice.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, did somebody give an answer, Sam?
Yeah, something Stack.
Roger Stack.
Roger Stack. That was a courtesy of our caller, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks, Tom. Roger Stack. That's it.
I don't know.
But anyway.
All those concussions we've had as kids. Can't remember nothing anymore.
When I came on the show and when I called from home or when I maybe first came in here and said why I was gone. Jim Lombardo sent me, like a hoodie t-shirt and a hoodie sweatshirt and a t-shirt. You know, he sent me a couple of things. You know, that was nice of him.
Why don't you have it on?
Because I didn't feel like wearing a hoodie.
You know what? You do have a different shirt on today for the first time in 12 years.
I know. I was.
Do you realize that you tend to wear the same gosh darn ratty old jacket every time?
I'll tell you why.
Why?
Okay, you know how some people have a hard decision deciding on what clothes they're going to wear each and every day, especially women, trying to coordinate things.
Hey, let's not.
Well, come on. We all know it's true.
Let's not get the women mad at us.
I'm not knocking them. I'm
they're
just telling the truth.
They're superior to us in every means.
As Walter Brennan once said, no brag, just fact. Just fact. Women have to coordinate whatever they're wearing, okay? Whereas a lot of men do too. Got to, check.
You ever seen a high school kid? They got to wear the same color hoodie and same color tennis shoes. They're more color coordinated than.
Okay, well, here we go.
And I don't know what.
In my closet, I've got jeans. I got a row of jeans, okay? And in a dresser drawer on the right hand side, I got a stack of black pocket t-shirts, a stack of them. And on the left side, I got a stack of black pocket pullovers. Shirts, okay, with a collar,
yeah,
three buttons. I never have to think about I never had to think about what I was going to wear during the week. T-shirt, jeans. When I'd go to Sherpa's, pullover, jeans. Always the same colors. Never
you're
changing.
Like the Blues Brothers.
Yeah, you're never
Jake
changed.
Elwood.
I never had.
Wear
I never
the same
had a,
thing all the time.
And I never had to think about. I never wasted time thinking about. Oh, should I wear this today with this? Does this go with this? I don't know.
Well, that's because you got married at age 15.
I didn't care.
Well, you've been dating the same girl since age 15.
But so the thing was, I didn't care. I knew what I wear.
The rest of us got to look good.
Yeah.
See, the rest of us got to look stylish, Tom.
Hey, what do you mean?
Your idea of style is a new fishing hat.
Is it?
That's his idea of style.
No, I've had this hat, the Cutting Edge Outdoors hat.
That's looking pretty ratty, too. I retired mine a year
ago. I've had this for years.
I retired mine a year ago, dude.
I won't retire this.
I mean, once they get that kind of.
No, I'll wear this until it starts falling off.
You know, my favorite ratty hat was my old Squirrels Unlimited hat. And then my buddy Troy Woodrow put it on his head when he was visiting a couple of years ago. And he took off on a tirade through 50 states, and that's gone. That was my favorite ratty hat, the Squirrels Unlimited. And now I don't think Squirrels Unlimited
exists
anymore. I got to call Zach McClendon. He runs a Luma Marine, some type of boats down there in Kentucky.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so that's my clothes thing. That's why you always saw me in black shirts and jeans, because I never had to think about it.
What, are you going to church today? You got a white checkered.
It's
kind of a nice-looking shirt.
Ever since.
You lost weight. You got to, get some other clothes.
Yeah, well, no, ever since the operation, I was wearing flannel shirts because I was supposed to, without a T-shirt, flannel shirt because I was supposed to leave, let that wound
air get
let
there.
Let it air, oh, yeah.
Okay.
And at home, I would sit there with like three buttons down and have it open so that it would constantly.
Did you like
there.
Blow a hair dryer on it then? A little air?
No, I didn't.
This would be a great idea.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so I just got used to wearing the flannel shirts every day, you know, and I have a bunch of them, you know, I just never wore them a lot, you know.
How about some mesh jerseys because, you know, they breathe?
Yeah, I don't have any of those. No.
So if anybody wants to know what to get Tom for Christmas, if his son out there is listening, Nick, get your dad a mesh jersey.
No.
They're on sale probably at
Kentucky Fried Chicken or Popeye's Chicken. That's what they
Kentucky
get
Fried
They won't let
Wait
my
a second.
Family
You're on a diet now. You got to change.
I know they won't let me eat fried foods. I have very little of that, and what I really want are french fries. That's what I really want. They won't let me have any of that stuff. No. So.
You like eating like salad and
carrots? Yeah. And well, not too many carrots, unless they're cooked.
Are you even cooking anymore? Because used to love to cook.
Well, I'm not cooking as much because I have a weight restriction, so I can't lift heavier things.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got
What's
a weight.
What's the weight restriction then?
8 pounds.
8 pound weight restriction?
Yeah. They want to make sure those wires in that breastplate don't get pulled out, you know.
Wow, 8 pounds.
So, I got to wait for that until February. And if there's a big pot of water,
right.
Big kettle of water, I'm not supposed to move that from, like, the stove to the sink or the sink to the stove or whatever. I shouldn't do that. So, matter of fact, I'm making a corned beef today, a big corned beef.
You got to have your wife move it for you?
Yeah, I can do everything except move it from, like, all the water. You know, because you got to boil the heck out of it. So, anyway, it's just one of those things you deal with, you know. But I'm getting better and better every day. Every day is something new. So, anyway. And I thought, here's the other thing.
What?
I thought, I saw the doctor on Monday, and that's when they said I could drive. And first thing my wife wanted to do was go shopping, of course. Anyway, so I. Well,
that's right, because she doesn't drive.
Right, yeah. So, anyway, where was I going to? Now I lost my train of thought. Yeah.
The weight restriction.
No,
the
there
cooking,
was something else.
The driving, the wires.
Jeez.
Price of tea in China.
I'll get back to it. I'll find myself way back.
All those concussions. I'm telling you, we took a lot of hits when we were kids.
I'll tell you. No, it's. I have found out different things after this. Like my taste buds are different. My vision is a little bit different. My voice is different. You know, there are certain things that are different about me, yes, and certain things that even in my attitude towards things.
Well, you didn't get a heart part from another person or anything.
No.
I've heard, if you get, like, organs, like transplant from someone else, all of a sudden, you know, it can, like, change your personality.
Yeah, no, I can
imagine.
Be
like the person that got that gave you the organ. Yeah.
Stranger things have happened, you know. Stranger things have happened.
There's some weird stuff. How do you know it's an 8 pound? Okay, let me ask you this time.
I don't know.
8 pound weight restriction. How do you know how much it weighs unless you pick it up and weigh it?
Okay, at 8 pounds is roughly about the size of a gallon of milk.
Is that what the doctor told you?
Yeah, a gallon. Well, I've always known that too, but that's what they said.
Really?
Gallon of milk is roughly 8 pounds. So
you know what? When I had the 10 pound weight restriction on my torn tricep tendon, I think that's what the guy told me too. Gallon of milk.
Yeah, that's about 8 pounds.
What if you don't drink milk.
Well, yeah, if you don't, or a gallon of water,
yeah,
or two liter bottles.
How much does a bucket of how much does a bucket of minnows weigh?
Oh, yeah. See, I bet you that's got to be 8 pounds.
A bucket of minnows.
Well, it depends on how big the bucket is.
Well, standard size bucket.
I bet I'd say 5 pounds.
I'll bet it's more.
You think so? It
might be. Think a standard bucket. Think about the volume now.
Yeah.
Think about the volume of a bucket. Yeah. Does that holds at least a gallon of water, doesn't it?
I don't think the standard $1.99 ones are. Maybe they're $2.99 now, like at Smokey's.
Yeah,
with the little blue cord on it, whatever.
Yeah,
I don't think that holds a gallon. I don't think so. I think that holds a lot less.
Less?
I think so.
It looks like it, kind of like the root beer glasses at A&W. They look like they hold
a lot. Yeah.
They look like they hold a lot more root beer than they really do.
Exactly.
They give you that big old mug. You tip it back once, and what happened to my root beer? It's all gone.
Where's my damn root beer? He's here, Bushy, in the back of the place.
I'd be in the back of the station wagon when Dad got the Papa Burger, the Mama Burger, and the I don't know, whatever burgers we got. He always got the Big Papa burger at the A&W in Olcano.
A&W, great places, yeah. Hey, we got to go to a break, folks. We'll be right back with more right here at Sports Radio 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Hey, 799-1250 is our phone number, or you can email us at ceoguys@yahoo.com.
Yep.
Fishing, hunting report, got a problem in your life you want counseling on. Tom and I can provide it all.
Right, and here's one thing we can provide too, Danny.
What's that?
You know, if you want to go to a safari and get save $4,000.
Yeah, isn't Dan going to call in on this?
Oh, that's right. He's going to call in.
Okay, so we'll wait. Never mind.
But don't Waukesha, worry. We will tell you.
Yeah, Dan's going to call us.
Yeah,
Dan.
Good.
Waukesha County Conservation Alliance banquet, raffles, and silent auction is set for Friday, February 7th. I went there last year with our good friend Al Shook. And it's a pretty cool deal. They're going to have 23 firearms cash prizes, outdoor gear, Ontario fly-in fishing trip for two, and much more. Seats are limited. Order your tickets soon. So basically, dinner tickets are $50 per person. And if you get a big table for eight people, it's $375. And then they got these great bucket raffles. You can buy tons of tickets. Yeah.
You used to get lucky at those.
I haven't gotten lucky in a long time.
In a while, but there was a while there where you were getting lucky all the time.
Fella, do you want to get lucky? I used to be. I did. I won a couple guns. I should have quit while I'm ahead. But I only pay $20 here and there, $20 here. So in about, I don't know, another 10 years of spending $20 at every banquet I go to, I guess I'll break even on all the stuff I've won. So maybe I quit while I'm ahead of the game. But, you know, the urge to gamble is always there. Speaking of raffles and stuff, now, I got this other thing, Tom. In the mail, Ducks Unlimited, right? And they've got, I don't know, 50 guns or whatever, and they're talking about their fall 2019 sweepstakes. So you get these tickets, so you can spend $35 for 50 chances, $25 for 25 chances, and something or other for 10 chances, which I think is the one that I did. But then when you read this stuff more carefully, it says that the donation is not needed to be entered into the thing. So, for example, if I pay $35 for 50 chances, I could send this slip in for 50 chances without the $35, and I'd still be entered with the 50 chances. Right. And then if you read it, it says no more than one entry per, I don't know, week or day. So I forget what it was, but let's say it's per week. Well, I could send a 50 chance in one this week, a 50 chance in next week.
So but without having to pay for
without
it.
Without having to pay anything. I don't know if it has something to do with raffles or laws. So I don't know, maybe. So I still sent the money because I guess it kind of shames you into sending in some money.
Maybe.
Because what kind of chiseler would send it in without spending any? Well, I'm looking at him right now, as a matter of fact. What kind of chiseler? But let's say you got a bunch of those chiselers out there nationwide. What chance do I have if I just send in my 10 chances for $10 or whatever and send the money? What chance do I have if everybody's sending in their 50 chances and not paying anything for it? I mean, I might as well just go buy a... Take $10 and go buy a Powerball ticket, for gosh sake. But I guess the good thing is I'm supporting Ducks Unlimited.
Yes.
The other thing I do, Tom, is I'm a sucker for these things now. They get you on a mailing list, right?
Yeah.
And it's the Pheasants Group, Ducks, or Elk, whatever.
Yep.
I get these things in the mail, right? And I cannot resist because I think I did the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation one. And if I'd send my $35 in, I get a free Browning knife.
Yeah.
And a hat.
Okay.
So I did. Okay. $35. See this hat here?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a Pheasants Forever hat.
Okay.
Yeah, I got suckered in on that one, too. I joined Pheasants Forever just because I get the free stuff. Yeah. So they get you on that free stuff.
Yeah, and
the magazines are okay.
I think they trade those lists or they sell lists back and forth. You know, like of all the people that have donated. So, like, if let's say Pheasants Forever will sell their list to, I don't know, some other outfit, Elks Forever, whatever, and then they'll send you stuff saying, "Hey,
well, you know, we're a national, well, which is fine. We're a nationally renowned program here, Tom. The world listens to us. We're well known. We're on everybody's list," and that brings up my other. Here's my other thing too. I get an early renewal from NRA. Right now, the thing I hate about NRA is they never put when your membership expires on the thing.
Yeah, that's right. They don't.
And like you could send in and renew it in July, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, 2 months later, 3 months later, you're getting a renewal notice, and you're like, "Well, wait a second. When do I expire? I could have swore I just sent that in, right?"
Yeah, right.
So I did an early renewal, and you want to know why, Tom?
Okay, why?
I'm going to get a hat. But then when I looked at the fine print carefully, it said that your renewal starts the day that they get it. So let me interpret that, Tom. Maybe I'm misinterpreting it. Let's say I expire next July, and I send the early renewal now. I would think that that should extend me from next July to the following July, but the way I read that, it sounds like it doesn't.
No.
It sounds like it starts me from now till December a year from now.
Yep.
So I might have got the hat, but I'm thinking if I'm reading that fine print correct, I got screwed.
Well,
I don't know. The whole world's a racket out there, Tom.
I'll tell you what.
Your guy has to watch out for himself.
It's all, you follow the money.
Once you're a single, straight, white, wealthy landowner from Douglas County, you got a target on your back, man.
Yeah.
Everybody's after your money. Everybody's after me. They're not after you because you wear the same old black plaid stuff every day.
I'm going to be getting back into that.
Can't get nothing from there.
What? Pretty soon I'll be getting back to that.
What?
We're
man
black,
in black?
Black and black, yeah. I'll be back to that pretty soon.
I think we ought to pitch in and we'll get you some new stuff.
No, I don't want new stuff.
How about for Christmas?
No.
What if I go to Sherpa's over there and buy you something?
No.
Hey, Randy at Midwestern Shooter Supply, you know, that's a good place to actually, they got some pretty cool clothing over there. Yeah. A lot of people think just, you know, guns and bullets and hunting and fishing gear. They got kind of a rack. When you go to a Midwestern Shooter Supply, go to the right-hand side, and they got some pretty good clearance and some cool clothing. So, I might have to take a drive up there and spend some money.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go up there probably in January, I think. We'll see.
Have you shot at their range?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I have. Yeah, I think there's like 8 lanes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not real big, but it's big enough, you know.
And they've got leagues and stuff there.
That I'm not sure if they do. I know they do firearms training, you know. If you're not used to a certain type of firearm, they will, you know, if you buy it from them, they'll train you on it.
Long as we're on the subject, I'll reiterate, last week I mentioned the Winter League announcement for WCTC.
Yeah.
So they got a whole bunch of good things going on out there, so you should go to their website and you can sign up. And I think their leagues are going to be beginning Sunday, January 12th.
Yeah.
And they run through something there. But not on Super Bowl, February 2nd. So you don't have to worry about shooting on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah. Have you seen any boats on Pewaukee Lake recently?
Tom,
I'm just curious.
I see ice when I come home.
There's ice on the lake?
On my side of the lake.
Is there really?
Yeah, it's December.
On the east end, there's ice. Huh?
Tommy, it's cold outside.
I didn't think it was that cold. I mean, what, the other day it was 40 degrees, you know?
Well, I see a little bit of ice.
You do? There is, huh? I just wonder if there's any guys still going out on the west end.
I'm sure maybe on the far west end there might be some knuckleheads out there trying to get the elusive muskellunge, but I don't know. I think most people, unless you're lucky and you own a big garage, and you can keep your boat in there year-round and don't have to winterize it. Otherwise, most people like to get that thing put away and winterized.
You know, this is the time of the year that is one of those, when it comes to fishing at least, that iffy time of the year.
It's the tweener.
Yeah, it's the tweener.
Like John Layman used to say. Yeah, he liked to say the tweener.
The tweener.
I think I said that once. He really picked up on it. It's the tweener time. So it's really hard for us to get any calls with hunting or fishing reports.
Well, especially the fishing ones.
And you want to know why?
Why is that?
Because it's a tweener time.
It is.
We don't. Nobody's really out doing much.
Yeah.
Right now, they're.
There's hunting going on. There's your archery hunting.
A little bit. But I think it kind of it dies down. Yeah. People got, unlike me, people have lives where they have, kids and wives.
Yeah,
and they
got
to start doing some Christmas shopping.
Hey.
And like you're driving your, while you drove your wife to the mall, did you sit out in the parking lot having a smoke while you, you can't sit in the parking lot and smoke.
No.
You must have went through about three packs of gum in about 1 hour.
Not really. No? But I have been going through, or I was going through
nicotine withdrawal.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What are the symptoms of that?
Nausea is one
of
them. Oh, yeah. I carry those pills with me.
Oh, they give you pills for that?
Yeah. I carry those with me just in case.
Nausea, huh?
Yeah. You get some headaches a little bit, and that. Yeah. It's, and then, of course, the feeling like you want to go out and burn one,
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. It hasn't been real terrible, but it's okay. I don't feel like going out right now,
I guess it's to be expected because you started smoking when you were like five.
Yeah. Well, it's been over 50
years. Tom was
years.
The one back in kindergarten. Tom was the one all his classmates could always count on him for a light.
Yeah. Always had that book of matches on me.
Tom would say, hey, you want to go outside and burn one?
Yeah.
Wearing his little army jacket.
Yeah.
Looking like a dirt ball.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that was it. But over 50 years of smoking is when you quit cold turkey. Yeah, it's your system is used to that other stuff. But,
so you haven't been able to get out hunting or fishing. How about your son Nick?
No.
What's he been doing?
Well, it's funny. I was going to mention when you said people have lives. You got wives and kids. Now he's got a wife and he's got kids, and he did a lot of bear hunting. Went up a lot for that until he got his bear.
He did get a bear.
He had a lot of deer hunting, bow hunting, and gun hunting. And then his wife kind of told him, she kind of put the foot down and said, you better start staying home on weekends. She said, this is a family, not a one-person outfit.
Oh,
you know?
Did she say that?
Did she say that?
That sounds like a classic. That sounds like a classic wife thing to say.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she said that.
This is a family here now.
I think I've heard that
from my friends for 60 years.
And I'll tell you what, and Nick's told me, he says, I get it. I understand it. This year he was gone a lot, with the bear hunting too, the bow deer, gun deer, he said, I thoroughly get it. And I said, hell, I says, your wife ought to be happy you aren't a duck hunter, a pheasant hunter, a coyote hunter, all these other ones too.
Did she know what she was getting into when she got married?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So she doesn't mind. She's just saying that it would be nice if he was home a little more often. Because now, when we get into ice fishing season, he'll be gone ice fishing, but he takes the kids with him with that.
Well, I think my dad hornswoggled my mom when he married her. She had no idea what she was getting into.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, she knew he hunted, and he's a farm boy from Douglas County, but he said the first year they were married, the first November of gun season, he went to get up on Sunday, the second day of season. She goes, where are you going? I said, I'm going hunting. She goes, I thought you did that yesterday. She had no idea what she was getting into.
That's funny.
And what you said as far as taking the kids with, I remember as a kid, Dad would take us way up to, I mentioned north of Okano, or we'd go up by Lakewood in mountain area, and he'd be out, baiting bear or doing it. He'd take the two young kids with him, right? I was maybe 8, my brother 7, 1 year young. He'd take two kids. And I remember we'd come home, and Dad always made the mistake of telling her we'll be home by 5. Now, why a guy ever would tell his wife, that's just asking for trouble. Just tell him, I don't know when I'm going to get home, but I'll be home.
Yeah.
Well, she'd always have the dinner ready at 5, and this was pre-microwave days, and she was trying to be the good wife and have the meal. And, of course, we'd be 2 hours late.
Sure.
And then when we'd come in the door, I and my brother Tim wouldn't want to eat because Dad had bought us A&W. So we'd go by A&W, and Dad would go, are you hungry, boys? Which was a rhetorical question because he knew we'd say yes. And then that would be his excuse to eat A&W as well. So she would be outrageously angry that she cooked this dinner and we were late and didn't come. And then she'd start yelling and screaming at him about being gone all day. And he'd say, well, she goes, what if I'd be gone shopping all day? And I remember as a little kid sitting on the couch, like, I felt I was getting yelled at.
Yeah.
All the boys were in trouble. And he'd go, go tomorrow. You can go shopping all day tomorrow. I don't care. She goes, I can't do that. I've got a baby to take care of. And then she'd go out the door and slam the door and go for a walk.
Oh,
and then my dad would go in and start trying to do dishes. And he'd be all, his head would be down.
Oh,
he'd be all bummed out.
Oh,
Mom's all ticked off at us. And I'm thinking, you know, the guy wasn't out drinking. He wasn't carousing.
Right.
He wasn't going to bars. He took two out of three out of her hair for the day.
Yeah.
What in the wide world is she griping about?
Well, maybe a lady will call us and tell us.
She adjusted over the years. I think she just wore out.
Yeah. Well, coming up next is the gut report. And by the way, if somebody will call Sam at 799-1250, call our producer Sam and tell us if you can hear like a hissing sound in the background while we're talking. If you hear a hissing sound or wave action, let Sam know. He'd appreciate it, all right?
It's static, Tom.
Yeah,
that's
static.
The word you're looking for,
thank
buddy.
You. Static. 799-1250. We're going to be right back. Gut Report coming up next.
Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. You want some, Sam, you want some really good tomato soup?
Absolutely.
Okay, what you do is you go to your local store, buy a can of Campbell's tomato soup, follow the directions. Delicious. That's the Gut Report. Hey, come on, give me a break. I just had open heart surgery. What do you want from me?
I was like waiting for like a punchline or like a delivery. I'm like, oh, that's actually it. All right, there you go.
Okay, no, seriously, folks, avocados. Now, if you heard this before, okay, I understand. But I got to tell you again, avocados, yeah, they might be a little pricey, but I'll tell you what, they can be so darn good. You take a piece of toast, okay, and you can butter it or not. It doesn't matter. But you take an avocado, mash it up with some finely diced onion, a little lime juice, a little salt and pepper, and you put that on the toast, it's really good. Avocados, you ever have a breakfast burrito? Add avocados to it. It's excellent. To your salsa, just take an avocado, mash it up in a bowl, and add salsa to it. It changes the complexity of so many things. Avocados are not only delicious, but they're good for you. I hope you like them as much as I do. The Gut Report was brought to you by Discount Liquor, where you're going to find the best price, selection, and service at 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and Main Street in Barstow in Waukesha. For weekly specials, go to DiscountLiquorInc.com.
Welcome back to Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Feliz Navidad.
I don't know why. Sometimes weird stuff just enters my head. All those concussions I had as a kid. So anyway, we were talking about clothing and Christmas and stuff like that. Oh, before I forget, I want to thank all the fine people at this station here who spent a lot of their time out sitting in the cold at the Fleet Farm.
Yeah,
and raised a lot of money for Children's Hospital. So they were all there. Yesterday on the way home from work, I texted Sparky, and I told him that I would donate a half-day guided muskie fishing trip.
Yeah,
which is at least a $200 value to the first person who came in and gave him $100, and that took all of maybe 2 minutes. He texted me back, and he announced it on the air.
Oh, fantastic!
And minutes, somebody had taken the trip.
Wow, awesome!
Yeah. So I figured that was a quick way to raise $100. You know, I'm basically donating my time, taking somebody out free. I was going to drive down there and donate some cash myself, but when I paid my bills last week, Tom, I get all these solicitations: St. Jude Children's Hospital, Cancer Society, Salvation Army, Milwaukee Rescue Mission. So I can't say no. I sent checks to like every one of them, so all my charitable money was gone.
Oh, it was all gone.
But I figured I could donate my time, and that's a great cause.
Yeah, that is.
If you're going to give to a children, you know, give to charities, I think one of the best is the Children's Hospital.
Yeah, they raise all the gifts, the toys for kids that are in hospitals. So yeah, it's very nice.
Sometimes you kind of wonder, though. I guess there is a way of looking up to to see how much of your money actually goes to the actual cause you're giving.
Are. And there are some causes that are very good, like the Red Kettle. What's that again?
Salvation Army.
Salvation Army. It's like the vast majority of the money you give to that goes to, you know, to what it's intended for. Very small amount. The person who runs it doesn't make that much money. Not like you go to some of these organizations and the people running it are making $500,000 a year.
That's the thing.
You know?
There's a lot of nonprofit, for-profit organizations out there, and I hate to say it, but there's a lot of you get ex-politicians getting involved with some of these ex-athletes and so forth, and you're thinking somebody's getting paid $100,000 a year to be an administrator for this charity
in a non-profit. That always kills me, Danny. Non-profit. But they make a profit to pay everybody. So they have to make a profit to pay everybody, but yet they call it a non-profit. Well, how are you getting paid if you ain't making a profit?
There's a lot
you
of
know?
Scams
I mean,
out there, kind of like that Clinton Foundation there. Yeah. I think that was making money. But you know, here's the other ones that kind of bother me is that, let's say someone sends you something, and you're like, okay, you know what? I'll send $20. You send them $20. Well, then over the course of the next year, you get 50 letters from them asking for more money. Well, basically, the $20 you sent them, they've spent in postage
and
material
and
time. Somebody sending you more crap asking for more money. I would prefer that they send me something once a year once every couple months, and then I'm more apt to send a larger donation as opposed to you get the same mailing every day.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Hey, listen. We're going to take an early break, Danny, because Sam has got to do. Sam, are you ready to do your thing? He's got to do something on the board here. So we're going to take an early break. And when we come back, folks, we're going to be playing the Hornswoggle. So we need a contestant. And you don't have to call right away. You can call in about.
Sam's going to be on the board fixing stuff?
Yeah, he's going to be fixing stuff. So you can call in about 3 or 4 minutes.
Standby. You're on standby. Yeah. And what can they win, Tom?
Well, they get a $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Market out there in Menominee Falls on Pilgrim Road in Silver Spring. I mean, that's the place to go for sausages and meat and all kinds of stuff they got out there. So, yeah, check them out, Carl's Country Market in Menominee Falls. But you get a $10 gift certificate if you win. So be a contestant for the Hornswoggle at 799-1250. Call in about 3 or 4 minutes. 799-1250. We'll be right back with more.
Hey, guys, Borwing.
Okay, we're on the air. Are you ready, Danny? Are you ready? We're back on the air. I don't hear any static.
No.
And so now, folks, we need a caller to play the Hornswoggle at 799-1250.
Well, we got to hold off a little bit there.
Oh, yeah.
Sam's still tied up over there,
Sam's
dude.
Still talking. But, well, yeah. So just wait a few seconds, folks, yeah.
Few minutes.
Yeah. There was just a little bit of technical.
A little bit of static there, so Sam's working on it. So
yeah.
Hey, I wanted to talk about something, though, because we're talking about, you know, gifts and clothing and all this stuff.
Yeah.
You see this catalog I got here?
Yeah.
Okay. So I got this catalog, and it's a Beretta catalog.
Okay.
And, thanks. There we go. Okay, yeah. There we go. It's a Beretta. Anyway, well, are we back on? Oh, we're ready to go. Well, maybe I'll talk about this later. Let's do the Hornswoggle contest, Mr. Douglas. I got a tractor to sell you.
All right, 799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. Play the Hornswoggle. Call right now. Be the first caller. Yep, call now. And if you've won in the last 4 to 6 weeks, don't call.
Snooze, you lose.
Yeah, let's get somebody new in here. So... I don't know. Somebody calling the hotline? What the heck?
I don't know.
I don't know how many people know that number. I don't know. Somebody else must be called. Yeah, we got a caller now to play the Hornswoggle, but now...
Now I know why you always like to sit there.
Yeah.
But you have to be looking at the lights.
I know I am.
You're obsessed with the lights.
I am. I'm obsessed with the phone.
I'd rather not see lights.
No?
Or phones.
No, I...
A happy day for me is leaving my cell phone at home.
Really?
And forgetting it.
Yeah, that's not bad
either. And not having
it
with me.
But it's good to have it. But in case
everybody expects
happens.
You. Oh, whatever. Something you know, happens. Something if I fall out of a tree and die, it's a good way to go for me.
Okay.
I don't want to go drooling in a nursing home, dude.
Oh, I know.
I'll be all by myself.
That's crazy.
It's going to be sad.
799-1250. Call to be a contestant of the Hornswoggle. Give us a call right now. You can play. You can win that $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Market over there in Menominee Falls. 714-799-1250. See, I think people were put off a little bit.
Put off?
When we weren't on the air, you know, there for a few minutes.
Give him a chance to get a cup of coffee.
So, yeah, that's what I figured, yeah. I did that. I took a chance to go get a cup. A
little bit of time.
Yeah.
So I was talking about your son before.
Yeah.
And has he been out ice fishing yet? Has he done anything?
No.
No?
No, He's a big guy. He's going to wait until there's enough ice. You know.
So, but does he do it a lot? Is he into
yeah,
it?
Yeah, he's really into ice fishing. He's, you know, he got a new shanty last year. He got his new locator this year. He's got a new power auger. He's into it. Yeah, and he catches a lot of fish, too. He does very well, yeah.
Is he primarily panfish or pike?
Mainly panfish, but he sets tip-ups out for pike. And he catches bass and pike for them and with the tip-ups. And then he, of course, jigs for the bluegills, crappies, and perch. But he does well.
And I know we're going to go to our collar for the Hornswoggle. But before we go to the collar, where was that? Wasn't there some spot he was getting big pike years ago? It was secret, and you told me? What lake was that?
Let me think about
it. By some little bay there. So, okay.
Let me think about
Think about that.
Yeah.
Okay. So who we got on the line?
Dan from Menominee Falls.
Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Dan from Menominee Falls. Hey, Dan.
All right. So the topic for today is shotguns. And here we go. The 20-gauge is bigger than a 12-gauge. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
It's a Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle. Okay. Beretta, Benelli, and Minnelli are all brands of shotguns.
That's a Hornswoggle.
That's Hornswoggle. Beretta and Brunelli are, but not Minnelli. Wasn't there Liza Minnelli?
Yeah, yeah.
She's still alive?
Probably.
Probably?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, all right. And then finally, so you're actually you won, but let's try the next one. The average shotgun weighs 12 pounds, 9 ounces.
That's a Hornswoggle.
Yeah. Hornswoggle.
All Hornswoggles
hey,
today.
That's how much Tommy weighed when he was born. He was a big kid. When that big head came out, oh, my God, your poor mother. So anyway, you left your address there with Sam I Am there?
I will.
Okay, we'll put you on hold. Thanks for listening, and we'll be talking hopefully again in the future.
Congrats, Dan.
Okay.
All right, Dan. Okay, Sam's going to get the address. What were you just talking about
So
before?
I was talking about Beretta a little bit, okay? In clothing. So I got this catalog, Tom.
Yeah.
And I know Beretta is I think it's Italian brand shotgun.
Yeah.
They're pretty high quality,
high-end
shotgun, high-priced type stuff. Only like, you know, wealthy guys like our buddy Al Shook would probably have some deluxe expensive pheasant shooting shotgun, although he's pretty good shot with whatever shotgun he has. But check out some of these prices on some of the clothing here.
Oh, it's got to be expensive.
Thorn resistant GTX jacket, $325.
Well, if it's thorn resistant, hey.
But $325. check out this. This is long underwear, right? It's kind of like long underwear. The pants, $75.
Just for the pants.
The shirt, $75. Here's another one. This is an Honor Windstop quarter zip and full zip sweater. Sweaters, $185 to $195.
Oh, wow.
Wait till you get, well, the hats are $25. I guess that's not too much. Oh, here's another one. A shirt. Just like a regular short sleeve shirt, like a Columbia type shirt. $80. I mean, what are these things made out of gold? Boots.
Oh, boy.
Here's a pair of boots. The Beretta Land 30 GTX, $548.
And you know what's funny? I bet you they're made by one of the name brand companies where if you go someplace else, they're like $150. You know what I'm saying? You know, private labeled is big. Private label.
Beretta plus Zamberland. Hundreds of years of experience from two historic Italian companies. combined to create the unique, the ultimate line of outdoor boots designed and constructed to
Italian companies.
These Beretta and Zamberland boots are unparalleled. Oh, so just because it's Italian, it's better than us, our American boots. I wonder if they're made in China. Do the Italians ship all their stuff to China too?
They might. You never know. They might.
Speaking of China, yeah. I wondered when these trade wars all happened, Tom, and whether or not it would affect the cost of fishing gear.
You know, I thought about that too, but I hadn't heard anything. You know, I had not heard anything if there was going to make a difference. Because there's a lot of fishing items, a lot of lures, especially musky lures. A lot of big musky lures are made in China. You know, they're designed here,
right?
And they got to follow certain requirements as far as what they're using, you know, materials and all that. But yeah, a lot of them are made in China, and you know, it's a cost-effective thing. You know, they can make them a lot less there, and if a person's trying to make money.
You know, our friend John Lehman was ahead of the curve years ago when for a long time, refused anything made in China.
Yeah,
he really,
that.
I think he was one that recognized that we were, you know, our country was, you know, being threatened by China.
Mm-hmm.
And all we hear from the media, how Russia is our biggest.
No.
I mean, they're kind of like taking over. But I did get something from Pure Fishing, of which I'm a member of their captain's program, that on average, now this was sent to me a couple months ago, on average the price of the goods was going to go up by about 7%, I think is the number. Now, I could be off on that number, but they did indicate because of some of the whatever tariffs and things we got going. But, you know, a guy can still get great deals on fishing equipment.
Sure.
I mean, matter of fact, right now, if you go to the website of Abu Garcia, Pfluger, Fenwick, any of those, you can, they're offering deals on some things. I'm getting emails up to 50%. You can get great deals on fishing equipment right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or go to your retailer. I'm sure Midwestern Shooter Supply, Sherpers.
Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of great retailers out there, I'm sure, offering great deals. So now is the time of the year to get the fishing stuff.
You know, another thing too is, and you know, we've mentioned it in the past, but St. Croix, taking a ride up to St. Croix Rod Company, they have got a special section. They've got an actual store where you can buy their top of the line rods, all their different rods, the ones that are perfect. And then they got an area for seconds that are not perfect. They're just as good. They got a smudge of paint. This is a little off.
Something's a little.
Yes, it's not perfect. And you get those for like half price. You get some really, and then they got some that are really cheap. You can get some awesome deals. Really good deals.
Well, they used to have the lifetime warranty guarantee, and now I hear that's not quite.
Now it's limited lifetime.
But I don't blame St. Croix. I blame a lot of people that, you know, a lot of people take advantage of things in this world where just because it's got a lifetime warranty, they'd have their rod for 20 years and then finally close the tip in a car door and try and send in and get a brand new rod. And there's a lot of people,
right.
I don't think that's right. If you broke it because of your own screw up,
you own it. That's
don't blame the company, but people will be like, "Oh, you get another free one. Send it in."
But remember,
no wonder they can't afford to do that. Plus, they got to compete against the Chinese.
Right. Remember when I told you how I sat on my brand new Fenwick and it had a lifetime warranty?
Tell me that story.
Yeah. Well, anyway, maybe I'll tell you after the break. I'll tell you what. I'll save this for after the break. Yeah, I'll save it.
Breaking news story.
Sam says we should go to a break. So we'll go to a break, all right?
All right, sounds good.
This is the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Stay tuned for more with Dan Bush and me, Tom Neubauer. Sam's on the board.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors. From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard! Ha, 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 ha!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, 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 folks, we are so glad that you're joining us this morning. It's going to be a nice weekend.
Traffic is
light and variable on the choked Edens. Up there. he's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. We come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. We are live. We are unrehearsed. So, and this is partly your show, too. So if you want to get in touch with us and you got a comment or a topic or whatever, 414-799-1250. That's 799-1250. Give us a call. Or you can always email us live at the Smokies inbox at ceoguys@yahoo.com. You know, some people are afraid to go on the radio and they just want to email instead. We don't do the texting. We don't do the tweeping, whatever they call this stuff.
Tweeting,
yeah, with all this, whatever, twerking. Yeah, maybe not twerking. I think I remember what that is.
You're too
anyway,
old.
No, I know what that is.
You're too old to twerk. Nobody wants to see you twerk.
I'm not gonna twerk. No way. I'd break something. But anyway, we are here every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. and we do enjoy it when you give us a call and got some topics or questions or comments. You know, we do appreciate that when you do call. But anyway, I was gonna tell you. This is many years ago, back in the early 70s, I was up north in Boulder Junction with one of my friends, and I bought a brand new Fenwick muskie rod. And back then, they were all pool cues, you know? They were all 5.5 foot.
Amazing how they wanted to just have that heavy. Yeah,
that's all they were. Well, anyway, so we were on Palmer Lake, and right outside of Boulder Junction across the road from High Lake. And it was drizzling out, and we had a sucker out. I had that on a St. Croix glass rod. Had a sucker out with that, and I was using the new Fenwick to cast with. Now, the Fenwick had a lifetime warranty, and as we're casting, all of a sudden, my bobber takes off, and that's the day of the J-hook, you know.
Let him take it for
a half an hour or whatever. Yeah, okay. So anyway, so it comes time to set the hook. Well, I stood up, and I reefed into that thing, you know. I gave it a good one, and I slipped. And I sat, and because the Fenwick was between two seats.
You pulled a Gillespie?
Yeah, I sat right on that rod, broke it in half. I did get the fish, though. I did get the muskie.
You broke the rod in half.
But broke the rod in half. And my friend says to me, he says, well, don't worry about it. He says, you can send it back to Fenwick, get a new one. And I said, Fenwick didn't do anything. I did. I broke it. Not Fenwick.
Right.
And he says, yeah, but so what? He says, just say, you know, whatever. He said, they'll give you a new one. I said, no, I can't do that. I said, no.
I'm proud of you, Tom.
No, yeah, I agree with you. That's one of the reasons where a lot of people would. They'd send it back, say, I broke it doing this, that, whatever, you know.
Take advantage. You know, kind of like the guys in Strange Brew when they tried to claim they had that mouse in the beer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, give us some free beer.
After that, you know, the old, what was the name of that brewing company? They quit offering free beer for bad ones.
Yeah, what the heck was the name of that? Oh, that's going to drive me nuts.
799-1250. Give us the name of the, come to me in a...
It's on the tip of my tongue, and I just can't think of it.
They lived in a big castle up there.
Yeah, anyway.
They had hockey.
Did you ever see that, Sam?
No, Strange Brew. I can maybe try to look it up, though.
Was it... you can look it up. Strange Brew.
Something or other, Sprecher.
Blatt, not Blatts.
Uelheimer.
But that's a movie you should watch.
Forstheimer.
Sam. You should watch that movie.
Hickenmeyer.
If somebody wants to call us and tell LeBlatz, no, not LeBlatz.
Hickenlooper.
Okay, we got some phone calls. Somebody's gonna tell us the name of that thing. Either that or gonna say, why don't you guys shut the heck up about this stuff?
Elsinore.
Oh,
it was
thank
on the tip
you.
Of my tongue.
Elsinore.
Oh, geez. I almost married a girl named Elsinore. How could I forget?
Oh, thank
Elsinore
you.
Whoever beer.
Courtesy of Jason.
Thank you,
hey,
Jason.
Thanks, Jason. You know, our listeners
our intelligent
are great.
Listeners. See, now Jason saw the movie.
Our listeners are greatly knowledgeable, Tom.
Elsinore. Not Elsinore. Elsinore.
No, it's not Elsinore.
It's Elsinore.
It's Elsinore.
Are you
I
saying?
Said I better, dated Jason, a girl named Elsinore, and you picked up on that in your brain.
Jason better Elsinore. Call her.
I was joking, and I said I dated a girl named Elsinore, and now you're saying Elsinore
over
there.
Well, that's what I said in the beginning, Elsinore. Wasn't it Elsinore,
didn't.
Or was it
Elsinore? It wasn't Elsinore.
I think it
it's
was.
Elsinore.
I think it had an I in there.
There's no I in there.
There's an I in there.
Yeah, there is an I in there. He just looked it up.
Really? How does it show the pronunciation?
It says Elsinore.
But they didn't pronounce it Elsinore.
Elsinore.
They said
Elsinore.
They just schluffed it all together and skipped that vowel.
E-L-S-I.
Just like you don't Elsinore. Say K in knucklehead.
That's right
you
there.
You don't say the I in Elsinore.
He's got the thing, the dictionary thing.
I don't know about the pronunciation, but there is an I in there.
Yeah, Elsinore.
I'm sticking to my guns, and that's it. I Elsinore. Will not accept the fact that I'm wrong.
See, nobody believes me. What is this?
Well,
nobody
you're so frequently
me.
Wrong, Tom. Frequently there.
The last time I was wrong, I was wrong that I was wrong, actually.
Yeah. So, you know, you were talking about setting the hook.
Yeah.
And falling down.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was raining out. It was drizzling. It was wet.
I remember an episode of John Gillespie's Water and Woods where I think he went to set the hook with a sucker and he was with Pete Maina.
And he fell backwards in the boat.
Yeah, and did he hit the ground or did Pete catch him?
No, he was down in the boat.
Went down?
He went. I'm almost positive he went down in the boat and then was standing up again. And
can you imagine if a guy went right over the side of the boat?
Oh, I could imagine that. I could imagine that. A guy going right over the side of the boat.
You know, our buddy Jim Komar, who was in and filled in for you years ago. I was out at the sports dock in Pewaukee having a grape knee-high one evening, and this was in spring, about May. It was really cold out. And I looked out by the rock bar out there in front of sports dock, and I saw a boat. And somebody says, I think it's Jimmy and Tommy. And he goes, I think it was actually Steve, Jim's brother. And he goes, and I could have swore to God, I think someone fell overboard a while ago. And I'm like, nah, you're seeing things. So about 45 minutes later, Tommy and Jimmy come walking into the bar and squish, 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 squish. Jimmy's soaking wet. So what happened was, he went to set the hook. I think he was working his refog, right?
Yeah.
And he went to set the hook, and a rod went out of his hands. It was cold, and it was out like feet in front of him, going away from him.
Yeah.
And you know, Jimmy's all of 4'8", so he went to reach out and try and grab it and went face first overboard wearing full winter clothes.
Oh no.
Tommy's in the other side of the boat looking the other direction. He hears a big splash and the boat starts rocking. He just turns around and goes, "What the hell are you doing?" And all Jimmy could do was go, "Cold, cold, cold." And thank God Tommy was, you know, bench pressing 450 pounds at that time, because he had to grab. Jimmy wasn't the leanest back then either for 4'8". He kind of packed a lot of mass on dents on that frame. So Tommy had to grab him and hoist him back onto the big boat.
It's not easy getting
not
back
easy.
On a boat.
Got
it's
him back on the boat. But yeah, he literally went overboard.
Oh, wow.
Have you ever had anyone go overboard in your boat?
Yeah, but for a different reason. Guy was in my boat, he had this funny look on him, and he goes, "Oh, shoot." That's not exact words. He
said, right.
He said, and he just had these eyes off in the distance, like, "Oh, shoot." And he jumped out of the boat, dropped his rod and jumped out of the boat. And I said, "What's the matter? What are you doing?" And now he's holding on to the side of the boat. He had a stomach issue attack.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know. And he jumped out of the boat, and he went right then and there. So then he had to take off his pants and his underwear while he's in the water and kind of rinse them all out, and then put them back on. Get back in the boat. And I went, oh, my God.
Was this... So he had what I like to call an alien moment.
Yes.
You ever see the movie, which one? I think it was called Aliens with Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
Where the guy's sitting there and all of a sudden that his stomach starts going this and that, and all of a sudden this thing comes out.
Yeah.
That's what I call an alien movement.
Yeah.
Where all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh. Something's about ready to erupt.
Yeah, that was,
no warning.
Yeah. He erupted, but at least he jumped.
Was he a client?
No, he was a very good acquaintance.
Thank God it wasn't winter or cold.
No,
or
it was summertime.
Like
it was nice out. It was nice out, but oh my.
He just dropped his rod and jumped over.
Jumped in. And he was holding on to the side of the boat with this look of relief on his face.
You know.
Oh, that was terrible.
One of the most scared I ever was years ago was I was fishing on Lake Seminole, Georgia. I booked the guide. I was down with my buddy Tim Coleman. We drove up from... Fort Walton Beach, Florida, and I found this guide to go fishing for bass fishing. Mm-hmm. Well, it's morning time, right? My stomach, you know, oh, man, it was terrible. And finally, I couldn't stand it no more. I said, take us to the shore. I mean, we're seeing alligators, right?
And there's snakes, poisonous snakes,
water moccasins, and there was no really good clear. It wasn't like there was a park-like area. You're going off in the bush. And I'll tell you what, that was the quickest alien moment I've ever had because I couldn't wait to get back on that boat.
Yeah.
When you gotta go.
Desperate times cause for desperate measures. I told you the time my brother shot a deer one time. He was up in a tree and he's in this marsh near Oshkosh, right? And he'd been sitting there for hours not seeing a thing. So he felt like crap. So finally he climbed on down and in this swamp. And he gets done, and he says, the wind is blowing, you know, downwind of him.
Yeah.
50 yards away, a big doe stands up and looks in his direction, right? So his pants are still down. He grabs his shotgun, boom, drops it.
Wow.
Pulls up his pants and goes over and gets the deer. And he's a firm believer that being as it was downwind and it was a pretty rotten, that deer was bedded down thinking, ooh, what's that?
What's that?
And looked in his direction.
That's funny.
Maybe that's what a guy has to do, get a little container. You know, they got all these scents, right?
Yeah.
You get something like a rotten scent that you puff on that makes the deer just stand up out of their bed. They can hide no longer. They can't stand.
I got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
See if you know this. Trivia question.
I know everything, Tom.
All right.
Shoot.
In an egg, you got the white part and the yellow part. Let's say a hard-boiled egg, okay?
Yeah.
White and yellow. Okay. Which one, and, you know, a lot of people, you know, when they eat eggs, they have bad gas, okay? Smelly gas. Which one gives you the smelly gas, the white part or the yellow part?
Is this some kind of a yolk?
No.
Okay.
No. What do you think?
What did there?
Hey. What do you think? I'm ignoring him.
Which one?
which one
gives you the gas?
The smelly gas.
I don't know, Tom. Wait, let me you got a 50-50
Whatever
chance.
Whatever you go with, I'm going with the opposite.
So it's so like our football picking. Right. We're going to have a contest. We're going to try and win because whoever's going to guess this. I'm guessing that it's the yellow part.
Then I will go with the white part.
Yeah, most people think it's the yellow part, but you're right. It is the white part.
Oh, right away, Sam. Well,
believe it or not,
yeah.
But most people think it's the yellow part.
Well, don't a lot of people, when they're on diets, will only eat the white part only?
Yeah.
Why is that? What's wrong with the yellow part?
I don't know. You know, you hear about these egg white omelets.
Egg white omelets, yeah.
I don't know. I like the yellow part.
What's wrong with the yellow part?
The yellow part tastes good. I like soft-boiled eggs. You know,
the yellow part, I think, isn't that like a chicken embryo, though?
Yeah, whatever.
When you think about it, that's a little gross, but it's not really an embryo because it hasn't been or wait a second, it has.
I don't know.
How else does the chicken lay the eggs?
I don't know. Well, that's just,
do they need a rooster for that?
Yeah,
no, I don't think
which
so.
One came first?
Oh, I can, I know which
biology.
One came first. I can guarantee you I know which one came first, the chicken or the egg. Is that what you're asking? The chicken came first.
That's what I think.
Because God
too.
Created all the animals and all that. He had to create a chicken before there could be an egg. He isn't going to create an egg.
Yeah,
he's
got
to create the chicken.
Well, how
first.
About the Big Bang Theory, though?
Oh, screw that. Who the hell knows about Big Bangs? Come on, you're talking billions of years
ago.
When
you think about that Big Bang Theory, I put this coffee cup on this counter. Like a billion years later, it's going to be a living organism or something.
Right. Yeah,
when you really think of the odds of that
and
whole...
And here's one other quick thing before we go to a break, okay?
Yeah.
One other quick thing. You know, they say how we're descendants from monkeys, right?
Okay. Maybe you are.
No, no. We're supposedly descendants from monkeys. Well, I got it, you know, through, what do they call that? Evolution,
I think,
right?
It's the opposite. I think monkeys descended from people,
okay.
I know.
So anyway, so through evolution, we're descendants from monkeys. Then let me ask you a question. Why are there still monkeys? If we evolved from monkeys, there shouldn't be any more monkeys.
That's one of the most profound things I've ever heard in my life.
There shouldn't be any monkeys.
Hey, Sam, you just went to college. Explain that, school guy.
Yeah, explain that one.
Hey, Mr. Liberal Arts College guy. You've been brainwashed.
Okay. Okay, folks, coming up next is the NFL football picking contest, of which you will win a $10 gift certificate to Curly's Waterfront Pub on beautiful Pewaukee Lake. Curly's is the place to go for fun, good drinks, good food. It's a great place. So, in order, oh, we got a caller already.
Right away.
799-1250.
You know, people like that guaranteed win thing.
Oh, this is a guarantee. Well, I mean, all you got to do is beat us or tie us. And the only way there's a chance is if all three of us pick the same and you pick different.
Can you call the no-name bookie today and let's get a hot bet for this weekend?
All right. We'll call him after this contest.
Okay,
all right.
Good.
All right. Call us right now. 799-1250. We'll be right back with more. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Sam Schmitz. It's not Schmitz. It's Smits. I got to remember.
No, it is Schmitz.
It is Schmitz? There's no SH. There's no.
That's SCH.
Oh, there is a SCH?
Yeah, it's a weird spelling.
I got that.
I didn't write that down. Where's my pen?
We'll figure it out during the commercial break.
You can borrow mine.
I got another one, but
it's right in front of you, for God's sake.
Oh, there it is. Kind of like, where's my glasses? On my head. All right.
All those concussions. I'm telling you.
Okay, we'll be right back. Danny, you know what time it is, right?
It's time.
Time for the NFL football picking contest.
Time for you to get a watch.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Who's our contestant? Is Ray from Milwaukee?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Good morning, Ray.
Yeah, morning.
Hey.
Yeah, how you doing today?
I'm doing good.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
All right. So we're going to do the Packer game, guys?
Yep. And what's the spread, Sam?
Packers are favored by 12.5 points, 42 Ooh, over under.
Ooh, 12.5 point spread. Who do you like? Washington with the 12.5 points or the Packers?
I'm going Green Bay all the way.
All right. Danny?
With 12.5 points, you got to go with Washington.
Sam?
I knew you were going to do that.
Sam?
I'm gonna go Packers. I mean, NFC East is just terrible division this year.
They are terrible, but you don't know what Packer team is showing up. I'm going to go with Danny. I'm going to go with Washington and the point. Packers will win.
It's crazy to think that the Redskins are still in contention for a playoff spot.
What are they, 3-8?
But guys, who would have thought that the Chicago Bears would beat the Dallas Cowboys?
That's right.
I think a lot of people knew that.
No.
I don't know.
Well,
but
next week, Green Bay plays Chicago.
Yeah, next week. That's going to be a big game.
That's going to be a game, man.
That's going to be a game, Ray.
Because Green Bay, Chicago has to win or they'll be done.
That's their Super Bowl, basically.
Yeah, that's their Super Bowl. That's right.
The quarterback's playing better. I mean, I'm a Green Bay. You know, I want Green Bay all the way, but I think next week will be a tough game. It'll be a good game.
Well, Trubisky will take whatever the Packers give him. He'll take those short underneath passes and that. He'll take those all day long and go right down the field. They got to stop it.
Well, you know? I think even when the Packers were crummy back in the Forrest Gregg days and the Bears were great in the Mike Ditka days, the Packer-Bear game, didn't matter what the records were, those were always tough, tight games.
Yeah, they are.
So,
all right.
Well, that's what you want to see, right? I mean, you want to see a tough.
You want to see a good game.
That's what I like.
Yeah, see a good game. Well, Ray,
I'm hoping I can win this certificate. Oh, we'll watch it at Curly's.
Well, see, you are guaranteed a win because all you have to do is tie us or beat us, and you're going to tie us at least.
Because one of us at least screwed up. In fact, it would be Sam and Tom were the ones. Yeah. So when we put you on hold, Sam will get your address, and Tom will get that out to you.
Right. All right.
Yeah, good luck to you, Tom, after your surgery.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it, Ray.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks for listening, buddy.
Okay. Bye now. All right. So the Packers are going to win tomorrow. But I don't think they're going to cover that 12.5 points.
Yeah. You know, Packer-Bear games, I mean, they're –
That's going to be a good one.
Those games. I remember Packer-Bear game memory. I was deer hunting up in Marinette County, and I came in Sunday afternoon into the farmhouse there just to kind of warm up, and the Packer game was on, and I watched live as Charles Martin body slammed.
Oh, I remember that. Oh, my God.
Body slammed McMahon.
Yeah.
And then I remember, I don't know if it was, I think a different game where Matt Sui caught a quick little swing pass, I think it was, for the Bears. And Kenny Stills, I think he dropped the ball. And Kenny Stills hit him about 30 seconds later going 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And just nailed him.
Kenny Stills was, I guess a lot of guys called him a dirty player. You know, that,
he was played for Wisconsin. In fact, I think he's Gary Ellerson's buddy. I think I heard Gary mention Kenny Stills. I don't know if they went to school.
I don't know. I think
similar
they did.
Time,
I think
probably
they did.
At Wisconsin, maybe not.
Or Florida. Down there, Florida.
What? They were Badgers, Tom. They played for the Wisconsin Badgers. Both played for the Packers.
But I thought they came from like the same area.
Ellerson's from Georgia, dude.
Yeah, that's where I thought the other guy was.
You just said Florida.
Yeah, well, I get confused.
Get confused like my grandpa used to get confused. Oh, my
son, you know, my oldest boy, Chris, he played against Kenny Stills.
Doing the
flag football league.
And didn't he get in trouble for something because he stomped on somebody?
My son said that. Yeah, he was a dirty player then, too, in flag football.
I worked when I worked with Kenny Stills, I was managing the Northridge Bally. And anyway, I told him, I said, man, I joked with him. I said, I loved it. I loved it when you hit him with that late hit. He just laughed.
Yeah.
And one time we were all out having some grape knee highs, and a buddy of mine, Tim Cammon from Kenosha, challenged Kenny Stills to a foot race. So they set down their beers and went outside, and they lined up for a 40-yard race. So I lined up next to him. So I thought, okay, we're all going to run. So my buddy Jim White goes, ready, set. Kenny Stills cheats. He jumped. He jumped ahead of
really?
Both of us. Yeah. But I took up the chase, and by God, I was right on his heels at the 40-yard mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Timmy never ran, but So I figured out pretty good. I kept up pretty good with him, but Kenny Stills was never known for his blazing speed. He played the position. He was a smart player, and he was a hitter. Forrest Gregg got fed up, and he put Stills and Tiger Green in there as safeties years ago because he was fed up with the weak defensive play, and they at least would hit someone.
Who do you got on the line, Sam?
Chris from Greenfield.
All right. Hey, good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you doing today?
Yeah, we're doing good. How about you?
I'm doing real good.
Good.
You guys seem like really smart, worldly guys, so I figured I'd give you guys a call and try and get this question in.
Okay.
All right.
Tom's your man.
Watching the sports games, and I'm a big Spotted Cow fan. I drink a lot of Spotted Cow.
Okay.
But the next day when I wake up, I got really bad gas, and it smells like kid poo-poo, baby poo-poo. Am I doing something wrong? I got to drink more whiskey or what?
Yeah, okay. Yes. Get rid of the Spotted Cow. Drink more bourbon.
I got the perfect thing for you. Go to the store, and you can go to Woodman's. Go to Woodman's and pick up. It's called Cafe Rumba. CAFERUMBA. It's in an orange bottle. And give us a call next week. Tell us how you like it.
Okay.
All right.
Or just start drinking bourbon.
Nah. Bourbon's bad for you, Tom.
Any kind of whiskey is good. Any kind of whiskey, it's good for you. It's good for the digestive system.
What do you mean whiskey's bad?
Oh, no. It's good for you. Yeah. That's what I heard.
I'm a firm believer.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Only people should drink milk, actually.
Yeah.
We're a family show.
Hey, speaking of a family.
Cutting Edge Outdoors, we only propose drinking water.
Yeah.
In a dirty glass and milk.
Speaking of a family show, we got an email here from Dennis. Dennis says, I often thought that Blatz was named after the sound you make after drinking it. Many a butt cheek were raised from a tavern stool way back when. Okay, Dennis, maybe that you were the only one. You know, maybe that's why you remember it.
I mean, he blasted so hard his feet came off the ground.
I guess, yeah.
This show's really going downhill.
I know.
Maybe we can talk a little.
little fishing or hunting here, Tom. You know, like, Sam, what do you got?
Yeah.
Oh, don't look at me.
No, you know what's weird? I'm just going through the email stuff here, see if we got another one, which we don't. You know, I was thinking about this last night, and then we brought it up today about this being a tweener time of year for fishing.
Yep.
And it's like, but one of the things that my son asked me, and he says, this was this fall when we were fishing this fall, and he said, where the heck are those damn bass? Where did those bass go in the fall? Where do they go in the fall? And I kind of explained to him where they could be, okay? Because lakes are big lakes. There's a lot of room.
Big lakes.
And I said they could be here, they could be there, but you gotta look for them. You gotta search for them, but you will always find. Okay, I was thinking back when I was younger and fishing in tournaments.
Right.
The fall tournaments that I won, I only won with a couple of fish. I was fishing the same way I would fish, let's say, in the summertime, all right? Fishing under the docks in the shallow water, looking
just
for
deeper
weeds. But I would catch a few fish because there weren't a lot of fish in shallow water in the fall. There's not a lot of them in shallow, but there's always a few strays.
So you wouldn't pick up the strays.
I would catch a few, two or three of these strays and have enough to win. You know, so I wasn't all that adept at finding those big schools. Every now and then, you know, everybody gets lucky, blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while.
Right.
But every now and then I would find, you know, that school of decent fish in deeper water. Yes, that did happen once in a while, but it was not the rule, okay, because you got to spend time looking for them.
Why don't people ice fish for bass?
That's a good question. I mean, I know people, we catch them by accident. You should have, my granddaughter last year caught her first bass through the ice on a tip-up all by herself. She pulled that line right up, and there was a nice 15, 16-inch bass at the other end. They were on Bass's Bay.
Because I would think,
over on Big Muskego.
I would think even when if you're targeting walleyes, you'd pick up more bass now and then.
Every now and then people do.
I can understand pike if you're using a big steel leader. Yeah, I get it. But otherwise, if you're finessing pike and fluorocarbon leader and golden shiners, years ago, I went to fish on Como. Mm-hmm. I and Ron Johnson.
Sure.
And Ron Johnson, when we were roommates years ago, we went to Como and we set tip ups and we were getting flags like crazy. In fact, kind of a funny story. He had a buddy with him who'd never really fished much and we're throwing a football around. And in between, he looks and points and a flag is sticking straight up and the spindle's spinning. And this guy points and goes, "Hey, does that mean anything?" And get this, he was just getting ready to go to the FBI. And I said, "Oh, yeah, some FBI agent, you'll be trained observer. Hey, does that mean anything?" Well, yes. But we were told that some guy about the week before had caught a 9-pound bass. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know whether to believe it or not. And then by coincidence, I was at a guy's house in Kenosha whose dad is a taxidermist. He said, "Yeah, some guy brought in a 9-pound bass a couple of weeks ago from Como." So it was true. Guy got a 9-pound bass through the ice.
And, you know, and I personally remember that story from way back when. I remember that. And that's where Como got its reputation. One big fish. Because Como is not a great bass lake. I mean, there's bass in it, and there's pike in it, and there's bluegills in it. But it's not a great lake. It's a shallow lake.
Really weedy.
Yeah. Really weedy, got a bunch of reeds around, you know, and it's shallow. It's not a great lake, you know. I was there once, and I thought, well, this lake isn't that great.
I and Ron Johnson went and fished it one hot summer day, and it was not good. We did not. He was trying to finesse in the thick stuff. Yeah. I remember I was tired. I just laid down in the back of the boat. It was like 100 degrees in July. Yeah.
But that one big bass gave it its reputation, you know?
One big one. And then the other lake that had a reputation for big bass was Whitewater Lake.
And that's well-deserved. I've caught a lot of big bass out of that lake. I won, matter of fact, in a 3-year stretch, they had tournaments out there, like 50 boat tournaments. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, they were all individual draw tournaments where it's a two-day tournament and you fish with a different guy each day. And the first two I won, and the second, and big bass in both. And then the third year in a row, I came in second with second biggest bass. So, But I did a real good stretch out there, and yes, lot, and it still has a lot of nice fish in that.
Okay,
lake.
So let me ask you this, Tom.
Yeah.
Southeastern Wisconsin, you want to get, like, not numbers, but you want to get a trophy giant largemouth. Which lake would you go to?
Well, I'll tell you, Danny, there's a lot of lakes. Well, let's put it this way.
How about if you narrowed it down to three?
Well, just about every lake in our area in southeastern Wisconsin has some big fish in it, few big fish in it. Granted, some lakes will have more of the smaller fish. Some lakes will have more of the medium fish. But every lake will have some big ones in it. I know I've caught big fish out of Nagawicca, out of Pewaukee. Pewaukee's got monsters in it. Oconomowoc Lake, Whitewater Lake. There's a number of lakes.
Which would be the easiest to fish?
Well, none of them are going to be easy to catch monster bass, but if I was looking for a really big bass, smallmouth or largemouth, I'd have to say Pewaukee Lake. They got monsters.
Live bait or artificial?
Oh, I only go artificial.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Always. We got to take a break.
Time for a break?
Oh, yeah. We're a little behind, but that's all right, folks. We're going to take a short break, and Danny and I will discuss more stuff about fishing. So, but if you want to get involved, 799-1250 is the phone number. We'll be right back with more.
She's got something that moves my soul, and she
knows.
What's
the name of this? Who does this?
The Grassroots.
Yeah, that's it.
Sensation Eyes.
Grassroots.
Classic tune.
Yes, classic.
Damn day. Welcome back to Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Hey, 799-1250 is the number if you got a hunting or fishing report. This is kind of a tweener time of year, so as far as a whole lot of reports coming in, we always kind of have a leg. But Tom and I will try to talk a little fishing, a little hunting here. And we were talking about bass. And we were talking about where you'd go as far as getting a big bass, and you kind of mentioned...
Pewaukee is a good lake.
Okay. Now, I mentioned specifically largemouth. How about smallmouth?
Pewaukee again. They got monsters in that lake, I'm telling you. Monster smallies, monster largemouth, they got them. As a matter of fact, on the east end of Pewaukee, there's some real monster largemouth, and you find more of the monster smallmouth on the west end. But because, you know, those bass, how many people do you see fishing the east end, the shallow end? Not a lot because it's so weedy, you know?
Right.
And those fish just keep growing in there. They got plenty of food. There's plenty of bait for them to eat. And they just get big and fat and sassy. My heaviest bass I ever caught was from the east end of Pewaukee. And so, yeah.
What would you estimate the weight on that? Was that one you said that one might have been 7 pounds or something?
It had to be. It was 23 and a half inches, and it was on the cover of a magazine, and I didn't have to hold it out.
Okay.
You could see my elbows bent. I'm holding it next to me. It was a huge fish, and it had to be 7 pounds, but I didn't want to exaggerate and say for sure, but I know it was over six.
What did you catch it on?
Spinnerbait.
Spinnerbait, okay.
Yeah, a big spinnerbait. Who do you got there, Sam?
JC in Heartland.
Hey, JC, what's going on with you, my friend?
Hey, not much, guys. Hey, this little warm-up, I will say a quick little report is Bass's Bay. I mean, you could get back out there. For a little bit, it was locked up, but
yeah,
that's great from late October all the way until ice. I mean, you go out there and throw a chatterbait, spinnerbait.
You'll
crush bass out there.
Yeah, bass. And yeah, you know, are you one of the guys that go out in the fall when the water temperature is like 40-some, you know, low 40s and throw chatterbaits or what's the other
spinnerbait?
No, not spinnerbait. Help me out, JC. The lipless crankbait, Bill Lewis.
Yeah, right,
rattle traps.
Honestly, at this time of year in the bow of the boat, it's like three things: it's a chatterbait, a lipless, and then some kind of Texas rig just to slow down, like get in certain areas.
But it's just it's amazing how those bass. Everything we've always read over the years is like you got to slow down in the fall. And then you throw these fast-moving baits, and the bass are crushing them. It's unreal.
Right. It's like they got to make that split-second decision. They want to eat or not, you know?
Yeah.
More times than not, they want to chew, you know?
Have you, in the fall, have you ever gone for the crappies out there?
You know what? I'm not a big panfisher at all. That's one thing I'm not pretty much into. A couple buddies do it now. I'll do it with them, but just myself, I won't. But touching on the big bass, I totally agree with Pewaukee. The thing about Pewaukee is it's like, for sometimes, if you want big ones, you got to go out there and, like, hit those mats hard with big jigs or, you know, punching hard. And you'll get some really big fish, but it's hard to get five if you're in a tournament doing that, you know, like, as far as big ones. But Lake Geneva, I was going to say, on the other hand, like, over the past 3 or 4 years, I've been fishing tournaments out there.
Yeah.
You need, like, 22, 23 to win out there pretty much consistently.
Oh, I would believe that. That's
a big bass fishery as far as, and it's always a mixed bag out there.
Yeah.
Smallmouth and largemouth, you know, to win it.
And I bet you're, go ahead.
No, I'll say there's probably every tournament, at least, you know, as long as it's like a 35, 40, 50 boat tournament, you know, where there's at least a 6 pound largemouth weighed in and a high five smallie weighed in on Lake Geneva.
Yeah, I believe it.
Always puts out big fish.
Yeah. And you know, those guys who, well, like you, who fish it a lot, you know, it takes time to learn that lake because it's a big lake, you know.
Oh, and, big time.
Yeah.
And drop shotting out there. It's totally, Pewaukee and Lake Geneva are just so much different to fish.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. But, exactly. Hey, appreciate the phone.
Well, you guys have a good weekend.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call. Give us more calls. We appreciate it.
All right, take it easy.
All right, thanks. Bye now. All right, we got to take a quick break, Danny. We'll be right back, folks. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Sam Schmitz is on the boards. This is 105.7 FM The Fan and 1250 on the AM dial. So we'll be right back.
It's the final countdown.
Welcome back to the Skipperbuds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Hey, we got a couple callers on the line. I think Mike is first, so let's go to him, Sam.
We got Mike Pevich on the line to tell us about a great...
Captain Mike.
Yeah, Captain Mike. Great hunting opportunity. Go ahead Mike.
How you doing?
Good. Tell us about this great deal a person can get if they want to go to Africa.
Well, again, this is with Evert Foster from Sadaka Safaris, and some of your listeners might remember him from being on your show the last couple of years while he's
in Virginia.
But what Evert's offering is a little bit of a contest. It's sort of an introductory package for somebody who's interested in going to Africa and helping you get a little head start on some of the costs. So what he's offering is a free impala and a wildebeest, or you can switch the impala for a blesbuck. So it's two free animals and 5 days of the daily rate, which is five nights stay. He's asking that people take a minimum of 7 days, which would mean they'd have to pay at least two. But really, that's done because some people think they can go for 5 days, and yes, you certainly can. But it's such a, the time goes so quickly. 5 days just really isn't long enough to make a really complete trip out of it. So what we're asking people to do to enter the contest is pretty simple. Just go to Evert's website. It's www.sadakasafaris. Sadaka is spelled S-A-D-A-K-A, safaris.co.za. And we're asking you to take a look at his website. You'll find it on the front page, but I think you'll want to look through the whole thing because there's some really awesome pictures of animals and facilities and so forth. All they have to do is text the answer to this question: what is Sadaka Safari's motto? And it's very evident. It's right on the front page. Text it to this phone number, 262-781-1704. Text your answer and your name, and that's all you need to do to be put into the drawing. And that drawing is going to be done live on your show on, I believe it's January 18th. Is that correct?
Sounds about right.
I believe that's it. And repeat that phone number slowly again for our listeners who are running for their pens.
Oh, sure. It's 262-781-1704.
Gotcha. And basically what they get is, if they do a 7-day hunt, they got 5 days free. They got two animals included. Plus, I believe Dan Johnson is doing something as far as a deal form for the mounts.
And, oh, I'm sorry. forgot to mention that, but yes, Dan's offering a free mount of the Impala.
Okay. And then, so basically, I believe for one person, they save, what, $4,000 or something, $4,500 value?
Yes, correct. And this can be for multiple hunters. It's not just for one person. The winner, the person who's winning, can bring along another one or two or up to three other hunters. And if they want to bring along other people who are not hunting, but just people who want to enjoy being on safari, you know, you're being on the truck, sitting in a blind, walking through the bushveld, that's an observer. And the observer rate for those people would be $250 a day.
Well, that's pretty good.
That's pretty cheap.
It really is because it's all inclusive. That includes all of your food and drinks, alcoholic, non-alcoholic, daily laundry services, meals. It's all inclusive.
All right. Well, just remember, Mike, call us next week and tell us again, okay?
Well, keep those lucky entrants getting in there.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
Hey, Tom, very quick question for you. How are you feeling?
Getting better day by day.
Awesome.
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, all right. Thanks. You have a good day, and I'll talk with you next week.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Yep. All right. And who do you get on hold?
Bill in Pleasant Prairie.
Oh, okay. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, guys.
Thanks for holding on. We appreciate it. You're going to go to Africa?
You know, it's all out of my hands. Everything's in God's hands right now.
Oh, okay. So what's on your mind today?
I just wanted to know what your guys' opinion was on the lower quantity in the deer hunt this year.
Yeah, it went down this year. But, yeah, well, the gun deer numbers were down, but the crossbow numbers were up. But the overall numbers were just down a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I think in the area that I hunted, Bill, there was a lot of standing corn. Even when I hunted with my buddy Mike out here on Sunday, we did Waukesha County, as Al Shook would say, and they're standing corn. And I think a lot of those deer, they have no reason to move if they can just go and...
stand in a cornfield.
Well, bed down in a cornfield eat corn. And they got food and cover. We had some crappy days, too. We had some wind and rain. So I think even one bad day, when you think about it, one bad day can affect probably tens of thousands of deer that would get harvested. Because think about it. If there were 160,000 harvested in 9 days, just figure out how much that is per day. Well, let's just figure if they had another good day of hunting, add it on to that total when you had that wind and rain and so forth. But I still think overall, I think we got some good hunting in the state. I passed up a lot of, I got two antlerless tags with both my bow and my gun license for Monroe County, and I haven't taken an antlerless yet, but that's probably going to change next week, Saturday. So I think a lot of people are passing up deer, waiting for that big buck, as opposed to years ago, if it was brown, it was down. And I think we might see a boost in those numbers after some of these other, antlerless and holiday hunts go down.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to say you guys do a great job, Tom. I'll be praying for you.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
John, at this time of year.
Yep, you know? I do too.
Yeah, we all do. And you know, funny thing is, John went through the same thing that I just went through, and he never told us a lot of the stuff about the recovery in the hospital. I'll tell you what, that is I was going to say a pain in the butt, but it's a real pain in the chest.
Yeah. I had some friends that went through that too.
Yeah, it's
wish
not.
I had time, I tell you a story about John. You know.
Oh, go ahead.
You know, I would live down here, so I would fish Pewaukee this time of year a lot of times, late in the year for my season. And I wouldn't drive home because I get stuck in the traffic pulling a boat, and so I would just go upstairs by John. I walk up there, and you want a beer? No, John, I'm driving my boat home. I'm not going to drink.
Yeah.
And he goes, you mind if I smoke a cigar? I said, no, John, it's your place. Why are you asking me? He lights up a cigar, and we're talking. And I'm thinking, man, that thing is really rank. What the hell? I didn't say anything. And after a while, my eyes are watering. And I said, "John, what the heck are you smoking?" He goes, "Oh, this is my medical marijuana."
Yeah, exactly.
Drive home.
Yeah, and you're sitting there breathing it.
I'd had the window in the truck down for half of the way home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, John, you know, because of his muscular Tourette's, it was recommended that, I mean, they could have prescribed those pills, marijuana pills, but those were not as good as the real stuff. So, you know, John would smoke that to help his muscular Tourette's, you know, in his neck.
Right. I laughed. Yeah. I would, every time I'd see him after that, we'd just laugh. I said, "John, what are you doing?"
Oh, I know. We've been up there before, Danny and I, plenty of times when John was doing that. And I think I got a little buzzed myself.
Yeah, I'll tell you the funniest story. Well, I got so many stories about John, ago when he was into making baits. And he and Randy Virgil, there's a house across from the bait shop, and they had a garage, and they'd have all these baits hanging on like a string, like strung across the garage, and they'd be spray painting them. So I went over to see those guys, and I walked in at about 3 p.m. one summer day, and they looked at me, and these guys, their eyes, you want to talk about high as kites. I got dizzy just walking in there with all those fumes from the paint.
And because they didn't have ventilation.
No, those two guys are in there. But I think John liked it. So.
Hey, well, thanks for calling. We do appreciate it.
God bless.
All right.
Thank you,
man.
You too. Bye now. Well, Danny, got about a minute left in the show. It's another week down, waiting to do another week.
Yeah.
Looking for the Packers with a big win tomorrow. Big win, hopefully, the Badgers, if they could pull one out, but I doubt
Packers.
It.
I'd do anything for the Packers, Terry. Yeah.
But I doubt the Badgers are going to pull it off.
I don't know. Maybe I'll go to Curly's and watch the Badger game today.
That would be it. Would be fun for the first half.
And you
like
know what
you
I'm going to eat, Tom?
What?
French fries.
Oh, I would love some
you
French fries.
You can't eat French fries. I'm going to text you a picture of me eating French fries with two beautiful girls beside me.
I told my wife.
Well, maybe French fries only, but you don't text.
I told my wife last night, I said, you know, I says on my way home, I passed right by a George Webb. They got French fries. There's a McDonald's I passed by too. They got French fries. And she just gave me the look.
She gave you the look.
Gave me the look. Hey, all Danny, right. Had a good time. That's all I got.
That's all I got, man.
To all the listeners, thanks for listening. And God bless and stay free, everyone.
Skipper Buds, Cutting Edge Outdoors. Hey, go buy me my Christmas presents, everybody. Talk to you next week.
But you can't keep no chains on me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.